John Garrett previously appeared on the Journal of Accountancy podcast talking about how passions outside of work are essential to job success. He's a funny guy, but with a serious message. On this episode, you'll hear more of John's humorous approach to an important topic right after this message from our sponsor.
Running a business is really simple, but earning rewards can be. With the Chase Inc. Business Unlimited card, earn unlimited 1.5% cash back on every purchase for whatever your business needs. Restrictions and limitations apply. Offer subject to change. Cards are issued by JPMorgan Chase Bank and a member FDIC.
So today we're going in a different direction about the professional development topic of improving our presentation skills, or my secret subtitle, Conferences 101. John, thanks for being here.
No, thank you so much, man. A repeat offender. Like, I'm honored that you asked me to come back. So thank you.
One of the few. Right. One of the few. So first, when someone gets a chance to present at a conference, how should a speaker approach the opportunity?
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, it's such a big deal to be able to speak to, you know, an audience. I mean, they're taking their time away from their jobs and their careers to come and hear what you have to say. And so, you know, you can't take that lightly, certainly. And on the flip side, you know, so many speakers want to convey, here's all the information I have in my head. And they really forget, you know, how do you want these people to feel? How do you want them to feel about you, about the information, about the conference as a whole? You know, I think we forget that side. Instead, it's just, I'm just going to data dump all of this and basically throw bricks at your face for an hour and, you know, hope you pick up some things. And it's like, you know, but the real key is that if there's no emotion attached to information, then it's not going to be retained. It's a psychologically proven. You have to attach some emotion to that, whether it's, you know, I use humor, but there's, you know, obviously, you know, sadness or stories that pull at the heart, or, you know, your own enthusiasm for the material, you know, because basically it's like, why should I listen to this? Or why does this matter to me? Or, you know, from an audience perspective. And so you really have to make sure that you let them know that, you know, up front, and you show that throughout your presentation. Is, look, if I don't tell you this, I'm going to probably blow up, you know, like my insides are going to explode, you know, I need to get this out type of a perspective. But yeah, but definitely forgetting to think about, you know, how do you want them to feel? Is, you know, do you want them to love this information? Do you want them to be angry about something? Do you want them to think differently? Do you want, you know, what do you want them to feel about it? And make sure that that's part of your preparation for that.
So part of that, preparation obviously is done in advance. You have to know what you're going to say. You have to have some emotion behind it. You have to think about it. But what about the preparation that's done kind of on the fly, like right when you get up to speak, or maybe if you're watching the previous presentation, about kind of reading the audience?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, it's certainly doing some research beforehand of if you're able to get a list of the attendees to find out, you know, who's going to be in the room. You can customize some of the stories. You can customize some of the examples for those people. You know, if you're in front of a group of manufacturing CFOs and you're talking about public accounting examples, well, that doesn't relate. Like, you know, you can't, sure, they can maybe get it, but if you used an example from their world, it's so much more impactful. So that's, you know, the beforehand, but in the moment, yeah, certainly watching, you know, the speaker beforehand, you know, how they start, especially how they end, because then that the audience is in one long play, if you will, and you're one of the acts of the play. And so you have to fit in to that somehow, you know, and so it can't go from, you know, one thing to you. I mean, if you're really strong and really know what you're doing, you can certainly shift that gear. But otherwise, making a smooth transition from the prior speaker, some reference to that or whatever. But yeah, you should certainly be in the room so you can get a temperature of the audience. One thing that I do is I have a lot of music video parodies that I've created, just funny videos. And so I show those at the beginning. So the person introduces, you know, but before John comes to the stage, he's got this short video to show us. And so it's about a minute and a half, 2 minute music video parody. So one, it's like a preview at a movie. It gets people to be quiet and face this way. That's what's going to happen now. Number two, wow, this is different than something we've ever seen before. Three, I'm laughing, so it's going to be funny. But it also allows me to get a temperature of the audience. If they're laughing really, really hard, I'm like, oh, this is going to be great. And like, they're ready to go. And if it's crickets and they're like, I don't know what to do right now because I'm at CPE and am I supposed to laugh? Am I allowed to laugh? Is this unprofessional? You know, like whatever, you know, and then I'm like, oh, all right, well, this is going to be a little bit of work at the beginning. You know, but you can certainly get a feel for the audience, just being in the room and seeing that. And then, you know, how can I tailor it? You know, if it's a smaller audience, if they're a little bit more reserved audience, then, you know, coming at them and being more animated is not going to work. You know, and so it's just, you know, how do I need to approach them and meet them where they're at? And how can I get them to where I want them to be? But you know, it's like finding someone that's lost. You have to find them and meet them where they are and then hold their hand and get them to where they should be. And so it's kind of looking at it that way, you know, that sort of perspective.
So it hit me that we haven't actually said, you know, who you are. You've mentioned humor. So maybe you should talk a little bit about what is this humor background you speak of?
Right, right. Yeah. Yeah. So I was graduated from University of Notre Dame, went to PricewaterhouseCoopers after that. And yeah, I did that for about 4 years and then went to industry. And yeah, because around that time started to do some stand up for fun, just as a hobby. And then accidentally got good. And then in May of 2005, left the corporate world altogether to do stand-up full-time all over the country. Wrote two Emmy-nominated award shows, which was pretty awesome. Opened for Louis Anderson at several casinos, Atlantic City, Borgata, and opened for the band Train. Did some really cool stuff over 2,000 times on stage. And then about 4 or 5 years ago, realized that I can kind of marry those two lives together and bring some of that to firm all staff events or corporate, meetings, offsite retreats, partner retreats, even in industry, IT department retreats, things like that, and then conferences. And so it's kind of, the content that we talked about before of people's hobbies and passions are really the core of your organization's culture. So that's that message, but there's an experience that I also bring that I found to events that make it something that, people talk about afterwards, which is the whole reason that you're asking people to not go to work. You know, I mean, you know, that's the thing I think a lot of event planners and people that are planning these sometimes forget is it's an investment in the people that are there. And those people have invested a lot of time and money to be there. And forget the venue cost and the coffee and the whatever. Let's add up all the lost opportunity of billable time that those people are passing up to be there. And that's a lot of money. And so get an ROI on that. You know, like there's content, but it can be delivered in a way that's actually received is really a big deal, because I was in the audience for these so many times. And, you know, like the smartest person in the room that's up there reading bullet points off of a slide is not that, no one's receiving that information. That's what I get frustrated by is, you know, seeing these events and being like, man, this could be so great. Like people could actually learn and change the way that they're thinking so much. But, it's not always the case.
So I think we've clearly established that John knows how to read a room. He knows how to entertain. He knows of what he speaks. So let's talk about some presentation advice beyond your words about things that speakers should show on a screen, if they should use a screen at all.
Well, yeah. So that is a huge problem. And I actually had this happen at a conference a couple of years ago. The gentleman right after me had a presentation deck that there were so many words on the slide, it actually went off the screen. Like, he clearly didn't fix his PowerPoint to, so there were so, and he read word for word the slides. He just stood there at the podium reading the slide. And that's, I mean, people checked out within 5 minutes. They're like, we're done. Like, we are not doing this anymore. And so there's actually been studies that show that human beings cannot read and listen at the same time, which I'm sure all of our girlfriends and wives would say, absolutely. Like, you know, I know my fiance is like, yep. Because if I'm reading something and she's talking to me and I just go, yeah, absolutely. And she's like, it wasn't a yes question. It was either or. And you just said yes. And so, but that's the thing, is so many speakers, they throw up these slides of tons and tons of words. And so if the audience is reading that, then they're not listening to whatever you're saying. And if they're listening to you, which is what they should be doing because you're a speaker, then they're not reading what you took the time to type on your slide. So less words. If you're going to have a bunch of bullet points, don't throw up all the bullets at the same time. One bullet at a time. And then the second bullet appears when you address that one. And then the third bullet appears when you address that one. That way, then it's not just a wall of text coming at the audience. And they're like, oh, man, like, what is all of this? It's just one at a time.
And those are like simple PowerPoint skills to get the bullets to appear.
Super simple. Yeah, you just have them as individual things. And then you just have each bullet appear on each click. So when you click the slide advancer, it doesn't advance the slide. It actually just brings up the new bullet to unveil that, and then you talk about that. And you don't have to have the bullet and then everything about it. You know, it's because it's just, here's the bullet, and then I'm going to talk about it. You know, and so it's a dance combination of here's the slide, and then here's me talking about it, or it's a trigger for you to remember a story or the information to convey.
You mentioned that when you speak, it seems like you kind of control the narrative on your intro.
Oh, for sure. And so here's the thing on intros. Never, ever, 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 ever have someone read your bio. Ever. Period. No one cares. No one cares. Have you ever been sitting in an audience listening to the introduction, which is a bio being read, and thinking, wow, I am the luckiest person ever to be able to hear this person speak? No. Every time it's, wow, can we get to the person actually speaking? Like, we're going to take 5 minutes of the 50 minutes to hear whatever they've done in their life? Like, I mean, this is ridiculous. Like, how about we just bring them up here and have them just talk? Like, really, no one cares. And so just, here's a couple of cool things about this person. And, you know, here they are. It doesn't have to be the full bio that's in the program about the conference. That's completely different than an intro.
Right. So we've talked about the start. We've talked some about the middle of a session. Now we're going to talk about, I think you have strong feelings. In fact, so strong, I might have to turn down the volume before you answer on taking questions right at the end of a session.
I didn't know where you're going with this, because I have a lot of strong feelings about a lot of things. If you want to do Q&A, don't ever do this at the end of your session, because the very end of your talk is one of the biggest things that people will remember. They're going to remember how you started, they're going to remember how you ended, and they're going to remember how you made them feel in the middle. So if you end with, which is the way every Q&A session has ever ended that I've seen, oh, so I guess there's no more questions. Thanks. Wow. That's like going to a fireworks show, having the grand finale, and then, you know, some pause and then a couple of bottle rockets. It's like, wow, really? That was the end? Yeah. So if you're going to do Q&A, do it about 2/3 the way through, 3/4 the way through. And do it for a brief period of time that you've determined beforehand, and then close strong.
It's kind of like a play. I mean, you say it's like an act of a play. The end of an act of a play does not say, hey, anyone have any questions?
Right. Yeah. And so I don't do Q&A myself, because I figure you came to hear me deliver content. If you have questions, we can talk after. Like, I'll be here. I'm hanging out, you know, type of a thing.
Is that something you feel like maybe you had to perfect as part of your comedy routine, was having a good ending?
Probably. I mean, it probably is. I mean, you know, yeah, I mean, there's definitely a closer, you know. I mean, when you're a comedian and a performer, I mean, there's an opener, you have the opening and you have the closing, and those are solid, and I know they work, and it's the same when I speak. I mean, I know they work on everybody all the time, because I polished it and I've worked on it, and you know, you record and then you listen and you perfect it and you try it again, and so it's and then it's me being in the audience. I've seen so many speakers when I was a CPA myself, you know, and you're just sitting there and you're like, man, I don't even know why I'm supposed to listen to this, or what this has to do with me, or why am I being told this information?
And have you ever seen someone at the you know, the danger of starting another Dennis Miller like rant, feel like they have to read through all of their slides?
Oh yeah.
Even as time is like, they're over time. They're like, well, let me just get through a couple more slides.
That's also a huge, huge thing. Whatever your time is, whenever you're supposed to stop, that's when you stop. It's not, well, I prepared for, you know, 50 minutes and, you know, the, you know, the, but we started late, but I'm still going to do my 50 minutes. No, you're not. No, you're not. Because if you go long, then now the break is shorter, or now everything else is bumped longer. And, you know, if everyone does an extra, well, it's only 7 minutes. Yeah. If everyone does that, then the last person now is 30 minutes late from, or an hour late, you know, from when they should have been, and the audience is exhausted and they're done. And so it's not fair to the audience. It's not fair to the other speakers. So as a professional, yeah, I mean, be done when you're supposed to be done.
One other thing you touched on, you know, you talked about having an opener and a closer, and you know, they work because they're polished and you've practiced them. You've recorded them, yeah, and listened to them. Not every speaker at an event is like you and is going to do that. I mean, that's your livelihood.
Sure.
But is there a way that they can kind of test their material?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think it's having some people that you trust and can give good feedback, that you work with, the peers of yours that you're friends with, people from your state society or people that you've met that have been at conferences like that, or even friends of yours that are out of the industry. I mean, just people that you trust, that you can be like, hey, how does this sound? You know, and opening with a story, opening with a statistic that's going to make people be like, wow, I did not know that. Or opening with something about the conference itself, the room that you're in. You're there live and they're there live. And they've seen all of the speakers, and you're just part of this. So it's addressing the elephant in the room. Like, this is what I see, or this is it, or I was flying here and then this happened, or, you know, just kind of a relatable story to be like, I'm a human, you're a human, and we're all in this together. So let's just hang out for a little bit. And then you can get into your smarty pants stuff later, but like, you have to develop that relationship with the audience. And that's a big deal. And so I think it's trying that out on people that you trust, sharing that with them and being like, hey, what do you think? And then just kind of practicing it a couple of times and not being afraid to, you know, just go out there and give it a go. I mean, you know, the more confidence that you have in saying it, the more that people will go for it. You know, if you're really tentative about it and kind of asking them to maybe come along, you know, they're going to be like, well, you know, it's like sharks with blood in the water. They're going to be like, something's fishy here. Like, this seems weird. Like, let's, you know, like pounce.
So if for one reason or another, maybe it was the previous speaker was boring, or maybe your opening was, you were ridiculously nervous and you sense that the audience has checked out, is there any way to continue the shark and fish and blood reference to reel them back in?
Right, there you go. I see what you're doing here. It's a real pro. I mean, you could just say it. I mean, just say, you know, hey, I mean, it's almost like when Brene Brown did her TEDx that blew up, and she was being vulnerable, and she's like, look, I don't know what I'm talking about. Like, you know, I mean, this is like, I'm being vulnerable right now. I've never said this before. I've never admitted this out loud, like all that stuff. And, you know, it's, I think people appreciate that, that genuineness that you have. So if you're like, hey, you know, I'm kind of a little nervous. Yeah, I mean, you could start with that, you know, like, wow, like this is an intimidating group. Like there's a lot of really intelligent, good-looking people here, and I'm the one that's got to talk to you, you know, like, I mean, you know, it's just what you're thinking. Like and if every one of them were in your shoes, they would be thinking the exact same thing. And so, you know, it's just being relatable and just being honest. It's like, it's not acting like, look, I know everything and I am perfect all the time. No one wants to hear from that person because we don't believe you because you're lying. That's why, because you're not perfect all the time and you're not amazing and you're not like, I mean, it's, you know, there's a handful of people in the world that are like that, that you would actually be like, yeah, okay. Yeah, you are. I'll listen. But for everyone else, it's like, look, you just happen to be the one that's up in front of the room talking to us. So like, let's just dial down the, how important you are. And we appreciate you being here. But yeah, you really have to, you know, you wouldn't be a speaker if there wasn't an audience. You'd just be a weird person standing in an empty room. So you really have to appreciate them being there, and you have to meet them where they're at. And admitting that you're nervous, or admitting like, hey, I feel like we got off the rails a little bit. Like, what happened? Where did that go? Like, you know, and then, you know, people tell you, like, they'll tell you, you know, especially if you're on the East Coast, they'll tell you. And so, like, you know, but you know, it's what's wrong with that? You know, like, we're not watching a video of you. It's a real live thing that it's organic and it's happening in the moment. And, you know, some things you're going to have to change on the fly. And yeah, if you feel like you lose them, now, if it's something that you've done a lot, and you're like, well, I'm supposed to lose them here because I'm going to get them right back in 2 minutes. You know, that's fine. But if it's your first time or you don't present a lot, then there's no problem. Be like, hey, I kind of feel like, did I lose you guys or what's going on? You know, hey, are we doing all right? Just doing a quick check, you know, type of a thing. There's no problem with that, I don't think, you know.
Right. Okay.
It's just being honest.
People who hear you speak, see you speak, one, they're like, oh, he's done this before. And maybe there's some things I can pick up from him. But who does John Garrett pick things up from?
Well, when it comes to podcasting, Neil. But yeah, I mean, you know, just I'm a member of the National Speakers Association. So like, you know, other professional speakers, there's a guy named Mark Scharenbrock who actually cut his teeth doing high school gymnasiums in the like 80s. So which just thinking about that like makes my skin crawl, because I'm like, I would never, ever, ever, ever be in a high school gymnasium full of high school kids. I mean, just that's insane. But I mean, he's done it so much that and the way that he's able to weave message with humor and heartfelt content, it's so baked together that you can't really unwind it. You know, it's really, really fascinating to watch. And then, you know, I mean, all the TED speakers that are out there, I mean, you watch them and you can learn what to do, and you can also learn what not to do at the same time. I mean, you know, just because they're a TED speaker doesn't mean that they're a great speaker. You know, that maybe they just have a great idea. You know, you can learn things that, you know, and maybe it's, you know, get away from that podium. Maybe it's don't stand behind it, because that's such a barrier between you and the audience. It's a physical barrier that's there, and they can't connect with you as fully as they can if you're just out away from that. You know, if you're nervous and you have to be behind it, that's fine. But if you can step away from it some, then that allows the audience to connect to you without that barrier in between.
John, thank you. This has been a fun conversation. Anything to say in closing?
Just remember what you're doing it for and why, and you know that, you know, what do you want the audience to feel, and you know, 2 to 3 points. That's it in your talk. Like, don't back the truck up on them. 2 to 3 points. They're not going to remember anything more. And if you try and deliver too much content and too many points to them, they're not going to remember anything. And so 2 to 3 points. Here's how you can apply it, and then some questions, and then big finish, and then there you go. You know, it's really that simple.
Well, it looks like our microphone survived your enthusiasm, so that's a good thing.
Oh, awesome. Again, well, I appreciate you having me on, man. This was really, really fun. Thanks, Neil.
This podcast is designed to provide illustrative information with respect to the subject matter covered and does not represent an official opinion or position of the AICPA or AICPA.org. It is provided with the understanding that the AICPA and AICPA.org are not engaged in offering legal, accounting, or other professional service. If such advice or expert assistance is required, the services of a competent professional person should be sought. The AICPA and AICPA.org make no representations, warranties, or guarantees as to, and assume no responsibility for, the content or application of the material contained herein, and especially disclaim all liability for any damages arising out of the use of, reference to, or reliance on such material.